Okay, so we're working on real hisbaididas. Hisbaididas means to be alone. We said the first level is to be alone with yourself. And that means not just externally, that you're away from people and you're sitting in forests and caves, but internally. Internally, get through all the layers of yourself. All your thoughts and your emotions and your issues and your stuff and your psyche. Basically, we want to try and break through our psyche and dive into the pure consciousness that lies behind that. So we said there are very many methods of doing that, to calm your senses and some types of meditation. One of the best ones, I hope you've been actually practicing this, is when you breathe in, just to say to yourself, I'm going deeper into myself. And then when you breathe out, and don't analyze that. Don't be like, well, what does it mean to go deeper into myself and what is myself? Don't do that. By the way, if you start doing that, like all meditation techniques, just notice you're doing it and smile and come back to focusing on just saying, I'm going deeper into myself. Getting deeper into myself. And at some point, you'll feel that you'll be like, oh, I'm kind of deeper in myself. Now, how do you know you're deeper in yourself? Because it's much quieter, basically. Deeply within yourself is very quiet. It's not so complex and over and analytical. It's very quiet. The deeper you go, the quieter it is. So some people say he's very deep.
Very deep.
But maybe they mean he's a very deep thinker. But a very deep person is actually a very peaceful person, because the deeper you go, the quieter it gets. Just like the waves on the sea, and the crashing and the storm, that's only on the surface, but as you go further down, there's quiet and calm and peace. So that's the same as you, deeper within yourself. Fine. So that, yeah.
Once, when you notice that you're deeper into yourself.
Don't get too excited or not. Yeah, if you notice that you're deeper in yourself, you're like, whoa, I'm deeper in myself, then you just came not.
Yeah, those waves are so
quick. Yeah. So you just, once you notice it, just be like, okay. By the way, you can't force it as well. People force it. They're like, come on, I'm going deeper into myself. And they're like, where is that feeling of being deeper in myself? And come on, I'm saying I'm going deeper into myself. Don't force it. You just got to just say, going deeper into myself. Another one, hugely important, is anikayam. I exist. With no analysis. What does it mean to exist? I wish I didn't exist. I hate existing. Well, don't do that. Once again, if you do all those thoughts, just don't get upset with yourself, because getting upset with yourself when you're meditating actually is taking you further away. So when you notice you're not actually focusing on what you're meant to focus on during your meditation, don't get upset and don't judge yourself and just gently refocus, that's it. You're not focusing, just refocus. That's nice.
How do you prevent yourself from falling asleep?
Do it when you're not tired.
Stand up.
Stand up. Fine. Out. So, Anikayam, I exist. And when you say I, you're trying to refer to the neshama. When you're saying I, who do you mean when you say I? Neshama. Once again, you're not trying to contemplate that and be like, when I say, let's just assume for now neshama. There is another method where you just say, who am I? Miani. And that can be used either as a hitboninut. Hitboninut means contemplation, using your mind, or just as a quietening method. So if you could do this, you could say, who am I? I actually just ran a session in the meditation room for a group of Geshe guys. So we did that. We did, who am I? And you can start saying, who am I? I'm a father. And it's like, that's not who I am. That's a role I play. Who am I? I'm Dove Bear. Well, that's not who I am. That's my name. Who am I? I'm a teacher. No. Who am I? I'm my thoughts. No. Who am I? And then, so one of the boys shared, he said, I was doing that, and then suddenly I was like, I'm the one asking, who am I? That's very powerful. To get to experience that, though, not to just give that as an answer, but to experience that you're the one asking, who am I? That's amazing. Because you can focus your consciousness on anything. You can focus it on that clock. You can focus it on his feet. You can I can't see your toes. What's going on here, man? You can focus on your feet. You can focus it on your... By the way, you can focus... Thanks. I can't concentrate if you don't have your toes. So you can focus it on things in the external world, but you can also focus it on things in the internal world. I'm just telling them about our meditation session. So you can focus it on things in the external world or in the internal world. But unlike anything else, unlike a camera, which can only take photos of everything but itself, unless there's a mirror, you can focus your consciousness in on itself. And that's very high. So fine, that's called hisbaididas, being alone with yourself. But then we said that's not actually the point. Getting to the point of being alone with yourself is so that you can be alone with Hashem. So you want to be alone with Hashem, and you want to talk to feel really that Hashem is there. And by the way, you can never fully do that. You can taste it a little bit, but unless you've got to this place of alone within yourself, you can never fully experience that. Because you can't experience Hashem through your five senses or through your thoughts. Thoughts, leis machshava tfisa beklal, says in the Zohar, no thought can ever grasp Hashem. Hashem is an experience. So you can't think Hashem. Experiences are by definition not thought. Experiences are in the realm of heart, really. It's a heart thing and soul thing. Then we said this very, 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 very powerful idea, and it's an immensely high level and very, very difficult. That emuna and his baididas go together. The stronger your emuna, the stronger your hisbeididus. What does that mean? The stronger your belief that only Hashem does everything, the stronger your feeling that you're alone with Hashem. Obviously. But deep. The stronger you feel, I rely on this person and I need that person. So then you can dumb it to Hashem and you can say, please, Hashem. But you've got all these other people who you think have any power. You're not really doing real hispodas. Obviously, there are levels. Anything, just going and talking to Hashem is already great. I'm talking on a very deep level of your soul, which we're trying to tap into in these classes. Real hispodas and emuna are so interlinked. And the weaker your emuna, the weaker that you are able to feel that you're truly alone with Hashem. Now, the obviously deeper you go into your neshama, the more you're intrinsically connected to Hashem. So fine. So this is what we're trying to do. Now, we've said with all of our spiritual practice, you need two times a day. But it's really, they're two different practices. And it's really meditation and mindfulness. And this is the difference between meditation and mindfulness. Meditation is a set time. A set time to practice a certain something to focus on. Mindfulness is a way of being throughout the day. It's different. Meditation is a practice in a set time. Mindfulness is a way of being. So let's say you're focusing on the fact you're focusing on the idea that Einan Milvada, there's only Hashem. So you can sit in your mindfulness, you can sit Einan Milvada, Einan Milvada in a minute. But throughout the day, for example, whenever you walk past a mezuzah, you could have another moment of, oh yeah, Einam Evada. Yesh Bari Eilam. There's a creator of the universe. So you have to have both. 3-minute focused session, and then points during the day tapping you back in. Again, I remember that. Or if you're focusing on, I exist, Ani Kayam, I'm a soul, so you can do that and meditate for 3 minutes and actually get to a deep feeling of it, I'm a soul. But then also, when you're waiting in the queue at lunch, in the line at lunch, you could be waiting in the line getting frustrated that you're waiting in the line, or you could just tap into a little moment of, oh, I exist, there's a me that exists. That's very powerful. And that means that you can actually start living your life through your soul, living your life from this calmer place. So when you're waiting for the bus, oh, Ani Kayam. There's never a moment where you could be bored, really. These are called constant mitzvahs, by the way. We have 6 constant mitzvahs. 6 mitzvahs you can do all the time, anyway. And just saying, Yesh Bari Eilam, there is a creator of the universe, you're actually doing a mitzvah. I said it before, I don't wait. Someone said to me, I'm sorry for keeping you waiting. I was like, I wasn't waiting, I was thinking about God. So you can. And you could do that. So you've got to be aware of what's going on in your mind during the day and choose amazing things to have going on in your mind. That's called mindfulness. Meditation, sitting session, mindfulness is a way of being consistently throughout the day. Yes?
What can you write down as a way of being consistently throughout the day?
It's a way of being. It's a way of life. It's a way of thinking. This is how I think. I'm aware of what I'm thinking. Being aware of what's going on in your mind. Most people aren't really aware. There's just a thing is playing, it's involuntary. We spoke about this before. For most people, thinking is an involuntary thing. It's just happening all the time, like your heartbeat. It's just happening all the time. You're awake, asleep, your heart's always beating. You're not paying attention, you're not consciously beating your heart, your heart's just beating. And your digestive system is just digesting, hopefully. If not, you get to the doctor. But your thoughts, they're just being thinking. But you can change that. You can start actually turning it into a voluntary thing that you're aware of what you are thinking. And when you realize these thoughts are not helping me, these thoughts are actually negative, then you can choose to step away from those ones and replace them with good thoughts that are happening. That's called living a mindfulness life. Being aware of what's going on in your mind and then start choosing, filling your mind. Filling your mind with good stuff. Yes?
How do you stay aware when you are learning?
Well, if you're really, really learning properly, then maybe you shouldn't be aware of yourself and God. You should be lost in the Gemara. That's not a bad thing. Pardon? And not a terrible thing. To be lost in a positive thing is a good thing. But most people are lost in not such positive things. But to literally lose all sense of self because you're grappling with that taspis, that's a good thing. I've been saying the whole time, you don't want to lose your sense of self. Everyone's losing their sense of self. Come back to yourself. Come back to yourself. But that's when you're losing yourself into your psyche. But when you're losing yourself into doing a mitzvah, putting on your tefillin, when you lose, that's a very high level. You want to lose your individual sense of self. You want to be so absorbed in mitzvahs and Torah that you're not thinking I'm doing this. You're just in it. Like the example I gave when I was in the sea with my daughter and she was about 4 years old and we were jumping in the waves. And I was like, this is great. I'm jumping in the waves with my daughter. And I looked at the beach and my wife was there with my son and I was like, Baruch Hashem, there's a wife, son, beautiful, and the waves. And what was my daughter doing? She was just jumping in the waves, man. She was just jumping. Now, she was drowning while I was thinking, talk to her. She was shrieking with delight as she was jumping in the waves. She wasn't analyzing, she wasn't saying, I'm jumping in the waves, and that's good. She was just fully jumping in the waves. Now, I used to tell that story to show that my daughter's on a higher level. But that's not necessarily true. Maybe a higher level is to be, you know what? There's a me, and I'm jumping the waves, and gratitude is a higher level. But you got to know when you do. So sometimes that is good, and sometimes that. But to be jumping in the waves with your daughter and worrying about your business, now that's not okay. If you're going to be jumping in the waves with your daughter, you either just be fully absorbed in jumping in the waves with your daughter, or you're absorbed in the incredible feeling of gratitude that you have a daughter and you're jumping in the waves. So they're both there, you're going to have both. So being absorbed in Torah is good.
If
it's become robotic, it means you're not lost in the mitzvah, you're lost in thinking about other things. You're not being lost in the mitzvah. I think you've got this impression of, I'm just putting on my tefillin and I don't really have any kavanah. That's not being lost in the mitzvah, that's being lost in other thoughts. Being lost in the mitzvah, I meant not, you're lost in the mitzvah. You're like doing. Now, by the way, that's a ridiculous level. I don't know if people do that. Being lost in a Gemara, I understand. Because I don't know if you've ever had this. You learn Gemara and it's like 3 hours later. And you're like, no. I used to have that quite often with Rav Kahana when I learned with Rav Kahana. We'd be learning, and it was like, okay, we're finished. I was like, no. So I think everyone's experienced that with something in their life, where you were playing tennis, or there's something you were really enjoying, and they were like, time up, and you're like, what do you mean? We just started. That you're getting lost.
Huh? Low.
Yeah. So you want to be flowing in the Gemara. I don't know how you do that with tefillin. Tefillin, I feel that you should be more consciously aware of yourself doing it. Anyway. So, we said also that the beginning of his Hesbodidus, in talking to Hashem, usually there are three levels, three aspects of prayer, praise, thanks, praise and request. But we want to not do any of them at first, we just want to have like words of love and sharing. Hey Hashem, I love you. I'm not even asking for anything. I'm not thanking, I'm just like, hey, how are you doing? Who said good Shabbos to Hashem this Shabbos? Yeah, thank you. Shabbos to Hashem? Why would you not say good Shabbos to Hashem? Really? Hashem Mamish created the universe basically to give you Shabbos, Tachlis Ma'aseh Shemayim Va'aretz, and you didn't think once to say, hey, good Shabbos Hashem.
Say good Shabbos Hashem?
Trash it. Why would you not say good Shabbos Hashem? I don't get it. Good Shabbos Hashem.
Why do you ask the question?
Hey Hashem. Hey Hashem. Where are you going for Shabbos?
He's going everywhere.
Shem says, yeah, I'm going everywhere. I'm everywhere.
Where are you going for Shabbos? I'd rather go there for Shabbos.
You're very welcome. So, now though, we talk about the three parts of prayer. Gratitude. Gratitude. Hashem, thank you. Think about everything you have. Israel Hashem. Everything. Your breathing, your clothes, everything. Everything. Now, also all the bad things. But we're not ready for that yet, most people. But so let's start at least just with all the good things. The good things. Everything. The fact that you can grow a beard. Some people can't grow a beard very well, and it really upsets them. So the fact that you, the fact that you can grow a beard. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. It's okay. By the way, if you don't have a beard, maybe it means Hashem says you don't need one. But you should definitely pray for it.
Do you think I should grow it out? 100%.
At some point, maybe after you're married, certainly. Fine.
Maybe after you're married.
So fine. Oh, yeah. Whatever.
What if you want to hide your face from all the potential
shit? Okay, possible. So fine. So, gratitude. Thank you, Hashem. Firstly, so you've got to think of everything you're grateful for, well, everything you have. Your wife and your children and your food and this item of clothing. Go through every single item of clothing you have. Thank you for that pair of socks. Thank you for that pair. Thank you for that. Thank you. All, everything. Just go through everything. Everything. My eyes, my eyelashes, my nose, my mouth. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for everything. So there's a higher level, which is very difficult, called, and thank you for my bad midot. Actually, that's a good one. Thank you for my bad midot and my bad stuff, because you give me a chance to grow. Then there's an even higher level, which is thank you for my real challenges. I don't know if people should play around with that yet, but that's where we want to go. We want to go eventually to that place. However, and once again, very high levels. I'm not saying I'm there. It's not called hisbaididas if you believe that anyone else can do anything good for you. Someone visits you in hospital. Do you feel grateful to them? The masters are telling us that in a way, like obviously you should, Akarastov, but you got to understand everything is Hashem. So you should, 100% you say thank you, but maybe just because that's the morally correct thing to do, but not because you actually believe that they actually did it. Do you understand? This is a very high level. Once again, there's going to be questions of free will and stuff like that, so I don't want to get too... But he's saying real hispaidus is, there's no one apart from Hashem. Everything I get, even everything you're doing for me, that's coming straight from Hashem. You didn't even make that decision. That's Hashem's using you. You are a messenger of Hashem, and it's all from Hashem. That's a crazy level, but at least it gives us a picture of understanding what real Ein Od Mil V'Day Hispaidus looks like. There is another level where it's kind of 50-50. Which is more me. It's like, no, Brandon did something nice for me. And Hashem obviously helped Brandon do something nice for me. So that's also wonderful, and we should do that. Definitely very important. But it's not called 100% Hispaid. Hispaididus is there is only me and Hashem. There's no one else in the world. No one else exists. Just me. Ain Ad Mil V'Day. Nothing. Do you get at least the idea?
Yeah.
Good. But it's just crazy. It's just crazy. So we shouldn't... There are some levels of you... Well, I get the idea, but to actually live on that level or get that level... So of course you have to feel grateful to people when they do nice things to you. Of course. And even if it, Hakara Satov, recognize the good that person did.
But if you do it on that level, wouldn't being thankful to them also be thankful to Hashem?
Good. So definitely, whenever anyone does something nice for you, you should say to them, thank you so much, and in your head be saying, and thank you, Hashem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
At least give it 50-50, or no, give it 90 to them, but don't forget Hashem. Thank you so much, Hashem, that you helped Brandon do that nice thing for me. At least give Hashem some part of it. And by the way, that's more kind of philosophically graspable. That's more acceptable on my level. For a tzaddik, they're like, no, there's only God. God does everything. Me, I'm like, no, Brandon did that. And God was also there. And that's very wonderful. That's very wonderful. Because you should feel gratitude. Don't you? See this? However, when you're in your hispaitidas, then you can really try and shift the balance and say, Hashem, I know it was just you. I know you use Brandon as your message. Now, when I'm with Brandon, I should feel it's 90% Brandon. But when I'm with, now that I think a big tzaddik is when he's with Brandon, he still thinks it's 100% Hashem.
But what does he say to Brandon?
He says, thank you very much. Because that's derech eretz. That's how you treat a human being.
No, but I'm just wondering.
Because seeing as Hashem chose Brandon to be his messenger means that Brandon deserves something. Why
Brandon
did
chose to do it.
Huh?
Brandon, he could have chosen not to do it, but Hashem.
Okay, so that's a question.
What if Brandon's just a horrible guy?
Hey.
Well, I'm not saying he is, I'm saying what if.
What do you mean?
Like, what if, like, there was, like...
If Brandon's
what if someone does a bad deed here?
Yeah. So, once again, there are two worlds. One is they had free will, and
sorry,
there
I mean,
are...
I didn't mean to pick on Brandon.
No,
sure. We're going with the example here.
There are two... And there's two grasps of reality. On a human level, and we are human. To be fair, well, some of you are. On a human level, someone does something bad to you, that's awful. They're a bad person. And they use their free will badly. A tzaddik's level is they didn't do that. There's only God. Everything comes from God. It's a big question about free will. I understand that.
So,
I understand that.
So when it's a positive matter, 90% to the person, 10% to God. When it's a negative matter, 90%
to
the
person,
10%
to God. On a human level, but someone who understands deeper is like, that was also, everything's just, there's only God. Ein od me'avodah, there is only God. It's a very high level of consciousness.
Foundations.
Me too. Yeah?
When you think Hashem, you say Hashem, or do you say the other one?
What, Satan? Who are you? You come to the wrong place, man.
A-D-O-N.
Oh no, I say Hashem. I don't. We tend not to use Hashem's real name unless it's in a blessing that is, it was written by the sages.
Okay.
Hey Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam. You can say yeah. You can call him big guy.
So
you can call Hashem. You cannot call Hashem Tati. Dad, Abba.
Yeah.
They call us Daddy. I think we're going to avoid Daddy. But
yeah, whatever works for you. So, gratitude. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you for everything. But really, once again, there are these two portions of spiritual work. One is to sit for 3 minutes a day, just going through everything you're grateful for. Another is everything that's happening. Like, this might sound a bit weird, but walk down the stairs to the bathroom and be like, thank you so much, Hashem, that I didn't fall and break my leg.
Yeah.
Really?
Thank you for giving me legs.
Yeah.
Every second of every day.
Exactly. Thank you. We really should thank you all the time. Thank you for not making my chair collapse in the middle of my class. Thank you.
I
thank you for making.
What happens like if you have like a baby, like God forbid the baby dies in the first 7 days? How do you do that with Hashem? You know, like
very hard.
Like thank you Hashem for like ruining my life.
No.
You
can say it like that.
Thank you Hashem for giving me what I need in order to build my emunah. But yes, you're meant to sit and cry and it's painful.
Yeah.
But a high level of emunah is to know that was somehow good for you.
Mm.
It's a very difficult.
Mm.
Like, thank you, Hashem, for making him stop crackling his plastic cup. thank you, Hashem. See, it works. That proves.
That's a proof.
What was crazy, though, is about 5 seconds before you said that, I was thinking that. So.
Well, you gave it to me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I was the one.
Gave it to Hashem.
But ultimately, our sages say every single breath you should thank Hashem.
Thank you, Hashem.
We say there's a Tehillim, and we say every morning, Kol Hanshama Tehalelka. Every soul praises you. But the Midrash says that it doesn't mean every soul, it means Kol Hanashima, every breath. And every breath that day. every move I make, every single day, every time I pray, I'll be thanking you. Here's one for my brothers who passed away. Yo, it's kind of hard with you not around. But really, every breath you take should be like, wow, thanks Hashem, I'm breathing. I did that once, by the way. It's a freaky meditation.
What?
Try this one day when you're meditating and literally thank Hashem for every breath. Every time you breathe in, you're like, oh, thank you, Hashem. Thank you. And then what you can do is breathe out. And you got to understand, when you breathe out, if you don't breathe in again, you will die. You'll be dead.
I understand that.
So you can hold your breath a little bit, and then with that understanding, breathe in again. Be like, feel your soul gushing back into your being, your life. That is mamish life coming back into you. Be like, thank you, Hashem. Now, by the way, if you breathe in and fill up your lungs and then you never breathe out, you're dead. So breathing out, you can do the same thing. Hashem. Now, I think you can, if you do that really, you can only do it for about 8 seconds. Otherwise, your head would explode. Hey, how did Dovbear die? He was thanking Hashem for everything. Yeah, to my brothers who passed away. All right, Travis.